Welcome to the Pilots Progressive Party.
Wow, Wendy, welcome. This has been, I'm kind of like freaking out here a little bit. We just watched a video of the Columbus statue being torn down at the state capitol in Minnesota, St.
Yeah.
Paul.
Well, there was about, I don't know how many people, but they had a big, it looks like a tug of war, kind of rope, a really long rope, and then they all pulled it, and he's down on the ground, flat. Christopher Columbus.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's breaking news here on Pilots Progressive Party.
Just happened moments ago.
I'm going to have a former student who's a DJ, a big time DJ in Georgia. She goes by Shorty Mac now, but we're going to have her on. But that's before we get her on, let's talk a little bit about you Googled really quick nine.
Yeah. And I'm not going to read them all because they're kind of long, but. This article about Christopher Columbus said, why do we even celebrate Columbus Day? There's nine reasons Christopher Columbus was a murderer, a tyrant, and a scoundrel. A couple of really disturbing things is that he, I'm going to read this one. I'm going to find it here in just a second. But he, settlers under Columbus sold 9 and 10 year old girls into sexual slavery. That's one reason alone that he's a scoundrel and a tyrant and a horrible person. Anyway,
right. Yeah,
the list goes on and on. And if you just Google nine reasons why Christopher Columbus is bad and why we should not be celebrating this.
Well,
last year on Facebook, I saw friends of mine who have children in, you know, earlyhood, childhood development celebrating Christopher. Oh, it was near Thanksgiving. Some of the kids were dressed up as the pilgrims and some of the kids were dressed up as Indians and they were all eating together and it was kumbaya. It's really sad that today in school that kids aren't taught early on about what really happened to the Native American people here in the United States.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a thing that isn't been taught. You know, I've been a lifelong Minnesota person, and it took it like 2 years or 3 years ago before I realized that there was even a statue of Christopher Columbus here.
I just found out moments ago.
Yeah.
And I just found out recently, really, probably the last maybe 10 years that Christopher Columbus was a horrible person and the devastation that the Native American people went through.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I'm wondering, we should probably get our guest because I know she's busy and, you know, it's
awesome that she's a former student of yours.
Well, she doesn't, it depends on what coast she's on. I don't know if she admits to that or not, but but we want to get some insight. She formerly lived here in the Twin Cities and was a DJ here in the Twin Cities and now is a big time DJ and in Georgia.
That's great.
Atlanta.
What is she going to talk to us about?
We're going to just talk because I know she can talk and we're going to talk about all the things that she does and her perspective of what is happening here in her hometown and how Atlanta's perceiving it. And, you know, we're just going to talk. And I want to introduce one of my all-time favorite people, Shorty Mac. Welcome to Pilots Progressive Party, Shorty.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here, Pilot. And Wendy, what's up?
What's up? They just tore down the Columbus statue at the Capitol just before we came on. That's what's up. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing you guys say. I think it's really awesome to see like the power kind of being reversed a little bit into the hands of the people in the last few weeks. It's been very interesting and concerning to watch.
Yeah, really. And I want to, what I'd like to do is have you tell our audience a little bit about yourself, you know, you were a DJ up here. Can you tell us a little bit about your career and where you grew up? And then we want to talk about what you're doing now. And then I want to hear your perspective of what's happening here in the Twin Cities from where you are. So let's start out. So you were born in the Twin Cities, or not born in the Twin Cities. No, you were born in a different country, right?
Yes. So I was born in Eritrea, which is in Northeast Africa. It's in the Horn of Africa near Somalia in Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was born. And then I moved to the United States with my parents when I was a little girl, like around 4 years old. And I moved to, I think, Roseville, Minnesota is where we first came, and we lived there for a few years. And then when I was about 8 years old, I moved to the west side of St. Paul. And coming from Africa, the winters were, like, really brutal in Minnesota, and my parents didn't like it at all. And the local school that I would have went to on the west side would have made me walk to school, and my mom was super against me walking in the bitter cold of Minnesota winters, so she sent me to the east side of St. Paul on they had like a bus program at the time that you could send your kids to school in a different district. So I ended up doing most of my elementary and my high school in the east side. I went to Harding High School, and that's where I kind of really found my love for media. Even when I was a young girl, like, I was very interested in it, but I think I really found a love for it in high school, and that's where I met Pilot. He was Mr. Pilot to me at the time, and he was teaching television production, which was, like, I wanted to be all part of that. So I was in Pilot's class during his class. I was in his class during times I should have been in other classes. I was so we had a lot of fun, and I learned so much, and Pilot, he really, like, he kind of put me on. He had me doing the morning announcements, and they were televised, which was different than other high schools who had morning announcements over a PA system. But Pilot was like, no, we're a TV production, so we're going to put it on TV, and we're going to put it on in the school, and you're going to do it with one of the administrators. And I was like, all right, and he really believed in me, and that's where even my parents were like, oh, maybe you should be doing this. And he told my parents that, you know, they should take it seriously and to really, you know, like, invest in me and believe in me. So Mr. Pilot was very, extremely influential in my career. And then later on after that, I got involved with some new stuff and worked for the CW for a while. And then I got into radio, just kind of on a humbug, because I had a entertainment news show that I was doing on cable access. And that was really, Pilot, you probably don't know this, but it was really inspired by you, because it was just about doing things like on a local level, like the way that you were like, no, we're going to have a close, you know, television circuit network here at Harding High School. Like, we have, you know, 2,000 students, we have staff, we have an audience, so we're going to create something for them. And that spirit was still in me. So I was like, I'm going to do this show, and I'm going to put it on, you know, cable access. Like, I know how to use the equipment because I learned from Pilot, and that's what I did. And so I started interviewing, like, really, you know, national artists on a local platform. And that kind of got me involved. That's how I got involved with radio, was that the local radio station saw, you know, what I was doing. A lot of the events were their events, and they were like, you're here filming and doing all this stuff, and you're just putting it on cable access. You really should be here with us. So and I told them, like, I don't know how to do radio. I just know how to do video. And they were like, no, we'll show you how to do radio. They were like, it's way easier than video. And they were right. So it's been a lot of fun, and that's my journey. I got started at B96 in Minnesota, and that's who gave me my start. And from there, I always knew that I wanted to go to Atlanta because it was a really premier market for urban radio, and I was looking for some diversity also, too. Minnesota was great about all cultures, you know, embraced hip-hop, and that was really cool. But I was, like, on the creative side, and I wanted to be kind of closer to the people who were creating the culture, so I kind of, you know, I was like, I need to be in Atlanta, and that's where I went, and I've been down here in Georgia for 7 years now doing radio and just being really involved in the community, and it's awesome. I love it.
Wow, we could do a whole show on just what you're doing. That's amazing. And I vaguely do remember you schlepping around some video equipment back then for cable access. You know, cable access is how I got my start.
Really?
Yeah, that's where I started. And then I started teaching at cable access. And then, Harding had a job opening, and a friend of mine told me about it, and I applied, and I've ruined kids for 25 years now.
Wow. No way. You've created like legacy kids, man. You've been so influential.
Wow. Thanks.
That's nice to hear that you say that about my husband, Robert, and it kind of warms my heart, but I have a kind of a silly question for you. Did you guys make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in class back then? Because now all the kids make PBJs every day.
No, we didn't.
I'm known for that now. Yeah. They come to my room and
for peanut butter and jellies and Lay's potato chips. So, okay.
Yeah. Oh, and that's really cool.
You did mention your radio name. Could you remind me of your real name? I didn't hear that, or maybe I just missed
it. Yes. So my real name is Feleg, and it's spelled F-E-L-E-G, and my last name is Abraham.
Okay, nice. Very nice. Thank you for letting me know that.
This is cool. I love your call name too, Shorty Mac. That's awesome. Do you have time to do another segment? We got to hit a break right now.
Yeah, sure.
As they say in hip hop radio, we got to hit a break right now.
Oh, it's cool. I'm here. I'm hanging out.
All right, cool. Hey, you're listening to Pilot's Progressive Party, and we're here with Shorty Mac. Wendy and I are interviewing and getting a little perspective, and I'm going down memory lane. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break.
What is hypnosis? What is hypnosis?
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar, and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Join us for New Beginnings, Saturday mornings at 11, brought to you in part by Vision Loss Resources.
Hey, Cudigy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Did you know there's deconstruction funding available now for homeowners and contractors in Hennepin County? If you are embarking on a remodel or teardown this year, consider hiring Better Futures Minnesota's deconstruction crews instead of demolition. By taking a house or building apart by hand instead of destroying it with heavy equipment, the materials can be reused or recycled instead of going into the landfill. It is much more cost-effective and is a carbon-neutral solution. Go to BetterFuturesMinnesota.com and look under Business Services to learn more.
The Electric Fetus has reopened in a limited capacity. New hours are Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 6, closed on Sunday and Monday. There are limits to the number of people allowed in the store and masks are required. Web and phone orders are available for curbside pickup. They're only buying used vinyl at this time by appointment only. Visit electricfetus.com for all the latest info and to shop for music, gift department merchandise, and gift cards. The Electric Fetus is excited to welcome you back to a safe shopping experience.
Sky Pilot, Sky Pilot.
Welcome back to Pilot's Progressive Party. Yeah, welcome, Wendy. Wow, I'm really excited to talk to Shorty Mac, but I just, before we get back to her, let's talk a little bit. We got a Patreon and is it GoFundMe or is, I don't know, it's a Facebook or it's something, but we got a Patreon and it's Native Roots Radio
Network.
Yep. Native. And we have like 4 or 5 more people we want to thank. And
awesome. We want to thank Kurt.
For sure.
He's out there and he just donated to the Patreon.
Yep.
And since our advertisers due to COVID are no longer able to sponsor the program, we asked for Patreon to help us collect some money so we could stay on the air. And people have just been fantastic. So right. Everyone out there, you have really no idea how much it means to us for your support. And even if you can't, donate, that's fine. Watch us on Facebook, like our page, support us just by listening. We really right. appreciate it.
Cynthia, Alex, and Laura, thank you so much.
Nice.
All from the Twin Cities area here. Hey, let's get back to Faelig. And welcome back. You were really making me emotional about our past together and how fun it was back then in the day. But I really reached out to talk with you about your perspective, what's been going on here. I mean, as a black female growing up in the Twin Cities, you know, Minnesota Nice only really goes to one group of people. What's your take, and how did you feel growing up here?
Okay, so I'm so glad that you asked me that, because this is how I would explain it. So when I was growing up in Minnesota, I was a minority, and there were not a lot of black people in the state of Minnesota overall. At the time, it was probably around 4%, and you were going to find most of that 4% scattered throughout the Twin Cities of St. Paul and Minneapolis. So I went to school on the east side, and my school demographic was primarily Caucasian and a pretty large population of East Asians, specifically Hmong Asians, because there was a large refugee settlement in Minnesota at the time. So there were barely any black people at my high school. Maybe we made up like 2% of the high school. And I really didn't think a lot of it. Like, I did think a lot of it, you know what I mean, in the sense of I recognized that I didn't have a lot of representation or people who look like me there, but it didn't make me feel out of place, so to speak. So it was interesting because when I grew up and I was grown and I moved down to Atlanta, one of the things that I did was go to the schools. Like, I wanted to be of service to the youth in the city of Atlanta. And I was like, okay, how can I do this? So what I did was, through music, I got artists who I knew that were popular with the kids, who were famous, and they would come and perform at the pep rallies for the kids. I would go and I would host the pep rally, and then I would surprise them by bringing various artists to perform. And wow. when I first got down there, the first school that I went to, the like 99% of the student body was black, and there probably was maybe 1,500 students at the school. The pep rally specifically is all bodies are in attendance. It's the entire school. So I go in there and it is like completely African American. And I was like, wow, I don't think I've ever seen this many, you know, young people in one room before. I was like, this is this is crazy. So I went on and I did more pep rallies, and the demographics were pretty similar, especially considering the schools and the areas I was going to. And so one day I went to a school, and I got there early. The students were filing into the gym, and there were a group of white students, maybe four or five of them, and they came walking in the gymnasium together. And as soon as I saw them, I was like, oh, my gosh. I felt, you know, bad for them, because I was like, oh, they're the minority. I was like, there's only five of them versus 1,400 other African-American students. And I was thinking to myself, like, I wonder how they feel, you know. And in that moment, I realized that that actually was me. It just was in the reverse situation. When I was coming up in Minnesota, I was the one of five students walking into the gym. But what I thought was, did anyone care about me? Did anyone look at me and say, oh, my goodness, look at these few African-American students. Are they okay? How do they feel about this? You know, and that was just my innate spirit to feel that way towards those kids, because I could relate. I had been there. But when I was in the moment, I didn't feel at a disadvantage. But now when I'm in Georgia and I'm the majority, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, okay, this is a different feeling. Things are kind of catered to me when I'm at the grocery store. The magazines that are, you know, at the cashier, they've got black people on the cover of them. If I want to buy hair care products, I don't have to go to one store in a certain area of the city in order to get those products. I can just go to the local Walgreens, and they will have those products there for mm-hmm. me, you know. And after a while, I was like, oh, this is what life looks like when you're living in an environment that's more catered to you because you're the majority. And I was like, wow, that's when I started to feel like growing up in Minnesota, I may have been at a disadvantage. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes really big sense to me.
What a perspective, yeah. Really. It really, that just wowed me, I have to tell you, honestly. I never really thought of it that way. Nice.
I just didn't feel like a victim. You know, in Minnesota, I didn't feel like a victim. I didn't feel like I'm a minority, I'm a victim, I'm at a disadvantage. You know, I've got this and this and that. Growing up in a household with parents who were African, they didn't grow up in America. They really weren't aware of, you know, what they were aware on a lightweight level. You know, in Africa, there was a word about what was going on in the United States in the 60s and the civil rights movement, and that there was a man named Martin Luther King, and that he was leading a movement for equality. You know what I mean? In America, they were aware of that, but they had their own war going on and their own struggles and their own oppression. You know what I mean? At the hands of people who look just like them. So they were aware of what was going on in Minnesota, but they, and in America, but they just kind of felt like, well, there's plenty of opportunities, so take advantage of them. So that was my mindset. But like I said, getting out of it, I was like, wow, I could see how people could be in a position to not win. And when you have people who are not in a position to win and they don't have equal access to opportunities, you're going to have what's going on right now.
Exactly. And yeah, I think one of the things that you've always had going for you is personality plus, that can break down barriers, but not everyone has your personality, you know, and what happens to those kids? They fall through the cracks. I don't blame, you know, after being in education in an inner city school, I don't blame these kids to being pissed off all the time. So, you know, it really just the way things are, the way they're talked at, white privilege, and you have all the people that speak for them and tell them they shouldn't feel that way, and on and on and on. And I mean, that's just my perspective from with working with the native kids.
You've always been like that, Pilot. I remember a time, I don't know if you remember this, but it was Black History Month in at Harding, and we were having some kind of like breakfast or some kind of event or something for Black History Month, and you were, you know, doing the video stuff. I was helping out. We were in the room, and one of the white students in the class was like saying something to the tune of, you know, it's not fair to have Black History Month, you know what I mean? Why don't we have, you know, White History Month? And I remember you literally looked at that student and you were like, we have African American, Black History Month. You said, because White History Month is every other month. And that's what you said to the student. And the student was like, what do you mean? And you were like, what do you mean? The entire history of everything that we're taught is all about you and your culture every day. You're like, black people can't have 1 month? Sheesh. And I just thought it was so funny because you were a teacher, so you could have easily just been, you know, not picked a side because you were the teacher and this and this and this, but you didn't. Even though you were a teacher, you were like, I'm still going to pick the side of what's right. And I just thought it was so funny. And you stood up for students who were not represented. And people like you are really needed.
Wow. I appreciate that story. I think I say now every day is White History Day. So can't we have some month here? Because Native American month comes in September now or October, and we just there's a couple of them.
Oh,
Wendy.
Okay. I thought Wendy's it was just confused. May.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, you know, during the commercial break, and you can't hear us, you know, Robert was saying, you know, I didn't bring her on to, like, you know, build me up and tell everybody that I was such a great teacher. And that's not why I wanted. I wanted her to tell us what's going on in Atlanta. I want her to give us her perspective on being an African-American woman in the United States. And I want her perspective on what's going on with the rallies and the murder of George Floyd. But it's very nice that you're saying wonderful things about him, but that's not why he invited you on.
Right. I appreciate it. But I mean, so I know your son was here in Minneapolis, and maybe you can tell us what he said, because he was brought up, right? He's pretty much been brought up in Atlanta or you've only been there 7 years, but so he was 10 years old when he moved there. What is his perspective of what went down in the city that he was brought up in?
Yeah, I mean, he thinks it's really unfortunate. Like, my son isn't really woke, and he kind of gets it. I didn't get it until later on in life, but he got it early on. I remember one day he was real young, and he was trying to, I mean, like, not even real young, but it was more recently. He was trying to play tennis, and he was trying to get me to play with him, and I wasn't in the mood that day. And he was like, I'll find some people to play tennis with. Maybe those guys over there will play tennis with me. And there were some people playing tennis, and I was like, oh, the Indian people. And they were Indian, like, from India. And he was like, yeah, you know, if they'll accept me. And I was like, well, why wouldn't they accept you? And he's like, because I'm black. And I was like, so Indian people don't like black people? And he was like, well, nobody likes black people, but I'm going to go over there and give it a shot. And I was like, what? Who told you that? You know what I mean? But it's like the world tells him that, you know, the world tells you that our lives are not, you know, that important, and that we're not worth giving a shot. You know, we're not trustworthy. We're dangerous, and we're that. So he knows, but he also knows that he ultimately can have, you know, control of his own destiny, self-accountability, and making good decisions and stuff. But he knows that we live in a crazy world that isn't right. And the thing about Minnesota is it's very difficult to be a black person in Minnesota because you stick out like a sore thumb. So you're just going to be seen. And if the color of your skin is weaponized already, you know, if I'm driving, for instance, in Minnesota, I drive around, I get pulled over by the police all the time, like all the time. Yeah. My brothers get pulled over by the police all the time. And my mom, who doesn't drive, seems to think that, you know, if we're getting pulled over, we must be doing something wrong. And I kept telling her, like, that's not the case. And so one day my brother got pulled over right in front of her house, like literally right in front of her door. And she comes outside and the police officer tells her to go back inside, and you know, he talks to my brother, and then she comes back out and she's like, why are you pulling my son over? And he was like, I ran his plate and it said that the owner of the car was not a licensed driver. And she's like, I'm the owner of the car. I'm not a licensed driver, but he is. She's like, what made you run his plate? Did he do something wrong? And he was like, no, I just ran his plate because I felt like it. And my mom was like, okay. And the police officer was like, I'm allowed to do that. I'm allowed to run anyone's plate that I want. And it was in that moment that my mom was like, oh, maybe you guys are on to something, because that's what it is. Like, if you are told, you know, that black people are lazy or that they're not to be trusted, and that's how you feel, then those few people are going to be at a major disadvantage. And that's what's happening, you know, with George Floyd. That's what's happening with Philando Castile. That's what's happening with Jamar Clark and every other black person that's being, you know, murdered. Like, there's a problem with weaponizing black skin in America. And I'm not sure what the solution is to undoing it, but I know that media, you know, plays a big part.
Media is part of the problem. Go ahead, Wen.
There were a lot of African-American moms on television and on the radio explaining that they sit their sons down and they explain to their sons, like, what to do. If a police officer pulls you over, put your hands on the steering wheel, look straight ahead, take your sunglasses off. Like, they have – and I was astonished to hear that because – none of my white friends ever have to tell their kids to do such a thing. Do you feel compelled, or have you spoken to your son? I don't know how old he is. 17. About things like that.
Oh, yeah. And with my son, it started even earlier than that. With my son, it started with him being in the backseat and me getting pulled over in Minnesota. And I would tell him as a small child how to behave and act while the police officer had us pulled over. Because that's how serious it is. You know what I mean? When Philando Castile got shot and killed in that car, there was a five-year-old that was in the back seat. You know, there's no regard even to the lives of children. So, you know, my son knew how to behave with the police well before he got to the age of him being the person, you know, behind the wheel or to get pulled over. Like, this is something that we're born into. And that's the unfortunate part about it, is that how do you tell a group of people that they are smart and they are intelligent and they are capable and they can do whatever they want to do, but then at the same time tell them that, hey, by the way, you've got to behave in this manner in order not to be perceived this way, to be treated this way. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm telling my son, you're a king, you're smart, you can do anything that, you know, you put your mind to. But if a police officer pulls you over, he doesn't have any regard for your life, so you have to do this. So then the child is like, okay, am I, you know, a king who can do anything, or am I someone who can be, my life can be disregarded in 2 seconds? So there's that balance there of, you know, trying to raise your kids to be, you know, proud of who they are and also aware of, you know, the fact that who they are can cause them to be mistreated.
Winona LaDue calls this the Deep North. Because it's not much different. I mean, we are so segregated. I think this is a great place to be brought up, Minnesota nice, if you're white. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that's really come out now is that people are awake. I mean, people are protesting every night here for something, whether it's to get Bob Kroll and his KK butt off the union, or
getting rid of Christopher Columbus, or protesting the murder of George Floyd. Is there still protests? How are the protests there in Georgia?
You know, the thing is, to be honest with you, I was really shocked, because when things went awry in Minnesota, I wasn't surprised at all. I've had these conversations so much with people in the South. The culture is completely different, like completely different, because the traumas are very different. Up North, the oppression that Black people face is not directly in their face every single day. And why I say that is that in the South, it is. So every single day on my way to work or to the grocery store or wherever I go, I'm going to see Confederate flags. That's a guaranteed. I'm going to see them on people's car, on their license plate. I'm going to see it hanging on their porch or in front of a business or whatever. So if I, Shorty, somebody who is against racism, feels a way, I'm going to be feeling a way all day long. So I'm not going to be able to take down every flag that I see. So at a certain point, I've got to just eat crow, so to speak, and say, okay, this is happening around me, but I'm not going to let it take over my life. So I'm just going to keep it moving. And that's how the mentality is down here. It's like, something bad happens. Okay, we've got to organize. We've got to plan. We've got to march. You know, what can we do? But the answer is not going to be violence or acting crazy, because that's just simply not an option, because you're coming from a culture of slavery, Jim Crow, segregation, KKK, terrorism, all sorts of things. So their approach has to be very different. And then the gun culture in the South is a whole nother thing. Everybody here has guns. Everyone has guns. So if someone doesn't like you because of their color of your skin and you get into an argument with them, it's not just going to turn into a fist fight. It's going to turn into they're going to shoot you. And that's what's going on. So you got to be aware of all of that. Up north, the oppression isn't in their face every day. So when something happens that they don't like, there is that ability and confidence to mobilize and go do something about it. And that's what people in Minnesota feel confidence. They're like, oh, I don't like this. I'm going to go take the statue down. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So when things went crazy in Minnesota, I was like, oh, I'm not surprised, you know, because these young people don't know that they're oppressed. And if they don't like it, they're going to go do something about it. Versus in the South, not so much. So the day that the riots erupted in Atlanta, I didn't believe it. Like, someone called me and they said, they're setting cop cars on fire downtown Atlanta and they bust all the windows at CNN. And I was like, no way. I'm not buying that. And they were like, no, seriously. And I was like, no, I'm not buying it because that's not what they do in Atlanta, you know? And they were like, okay. And then they sent me some videos and pictures. And I was like, holy moly. And that's when I realized, like, okay, this is going to be next level. And you've got all these critics who are saying looting is bad, rioting is bad, you're destroying communities, and they are all correct. Those are all facts. But at the same time, what I've noticed is that the result this time has been different than times before. Peaceful protesting, it's okay, but it hasn't yielded swift results like this has. So then it leads me to believe that, you know, maybe sometimes you've got to give people a dose of their own medicine. And that's not to say that the protesters, you know, protesters and rioters were two different people. I acknowledge that. And I don't think that all of the rioters necessarily had the best interest at heart. Oh, you know, this is for George Floyd. No, there was some greed there. There were some people who wanted to self-benefit. But what I'm saying is that overall, the combination of all of it combined is now yielding some results that I've never seen. It's causing people to have conversations that I've never heard. It's causing organizations and politicians to acknowledge and admit things that they never wanted to.
That's right. Wow. And it's gone. The time's gone by so fast, and I know you need to get going. And I really, really appreciate you being on and showing us your perspective and telling us your perspective. I'd love to have you on again soon.
Anytime, Pilot. I'm here. And, fan of your show, and you guys keep doing what you're doing because it's so much needed. Thank you for giving people like myself a platform.
Right on. And we'll talk to you soon. You're listening to Pilots Progressive, and we're going to be up next with Jess Grahams, who's eyewitness of the Columbus statue being torn down. We'll be right back after this short break.
Standard Heating and Air Conditioning knows it's June when us Minnesotans finally stop talking about how cold it is and start talking about how hot it is, which is the perfect time for Standard's Summer Is Here sale. During June, you can save $900 on a new air conditioner with payments as low as $47 a month for 0% financing. Find out more about these great savings at standardheating.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Whether it's storm damage from the past or a new issue that's popped up over the years, Snap Construction is a company we trust for all roofing, siding, windows, and exterior construction needs. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window company in the metro. Ryan has worked with many of our listeners and is excited to help more.
Thank you to all the listeners we have worked with and all the listeners at AM950 that we haven't had the opportunity to work with yet. This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. Safety of our homeowners and our team at Snap Construction has always been the utmost priority. We are still offering free, no-contact estimates. This summer at Snap Construction, we've rolled out a new referral program. Mention AM950 and we'll make a donation to the station in your name. Together, we can all work to ensure AM950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. Call for your free estimate today. 612-333-SNAP, 612-333-SNAP.
AM 950 weather. I'm Patrick Cleland. Rain and storms likely overnight Tuesday with 59 for a low. Rain possibility continuing into Wednesday with a high of 69. Our eight local Minnesota restaurants are getting set to reopen their dining rooms in the near future, but in the meantime, make sure to support some of our eight local options with takeout, such as Great Wall Restaurant, Cafe Latte, Park Tavern, and Hazel's Northeast. Check them out today and place your takeout order now.
Back to Pilots Progressive Party. Wow, Wendy, that was an awesome interview, wasn't it?
She was great, and it was really nice to hear all those nice things about you, even though that wasn't the purpose of the phone call. So it was really nice.
I'll send her a direct payment to Facebook.
And she really had a really good perspective, because she had the perspective of living up here in the North and also the South, and she got to see the differences, and I really didn't realize it. So it was very interesting. So
seeing the Confederate flag and people with guns all the time, and and here in Minnesota we're more verbal and in your face if we don't like stuff. That was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very.
Well, we started the show by saying that we were witnessing over Facebook Christopher Columbus being torn down. And we have an eyewitness here, a good friend of ours here, Native Roots Radio. And she's gonna come on. And her name's Jess Grams. And she's a filmmaker and a media artist and specialist. Thanks for stopping in and giving us a little eye view.
No problem, Pilot. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound good. So...
Awesome. You
witnessed it.
Oh, my God. Yes, it was pretty surreal. But because I think it was not on my radar that it was happening so soon, and then all of a sudden I saw it maybe last night that something was being planned. And I knew it wasn't any of the AIM folks that I knew, so I was kind of like, I want to go see what's what and what happens. And so, especially because I live super duper close to the Capitol, I live in Lower Town, and I also have been avoiding all media interaction since COVID really began, because my children put me on the biggest guilt trip in the universe. Like, Mom, we're just finally growing up, and now we get to do fun stuff. You can't go get COVID, and I can't argue with that. So anyway, I have not been out and about, and this was very near my home. And I said, child, this is what might be happening. Christopher Columbus might come down. And she's like, can I take him down? And I'm like, no, that's not what I'm telling you this for. And we talked about it for a while. And then she's like, yeah, I think you should go check it out. And I'm like, okay. So I got the go ahead and went up the street to the Capitol. And when I first got there, it was like I couldn't see too many people ahead. I kind of had to wrap around because there were a few cars on, Cedar there, and I couldn't find a spot right away. And then when I got there, there was maybe like 60 people, but it filled up really fast. All of a sudden, there was 100 people, right? And then 150 people. And there were quite a few cameras. And it just seemed to go super fast from, okay, we heard a rumor Tim might come down here and be cool with this. Are we going to wait for him to come down or not? And then the answer like, no, that's not going to happen. And then he was, the gentleman that was kind of in charge there, you know his name, Pilot, not me.
I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
Anyway, so he's talking to the one officer there, a trooper it looked like, and it seemed like he was saying, you know, can you call and ask if we, you know, are allowed to just peaceably bring this down? And they were talking about how they were being asked to remove it with a crane or something. And they were like, no, we're not going to carefully remove this and put it in your backyard. Like, that's not the purpose of this venture. And the officer kind of seemed to step back, and then he came back in and he made a phone call. It did happen, I think. And then he came back in. They talked again. He stepped back. he started to like throw ropes up there, and then this super tall white dude that I didn't know had his face mask on. Everyone had their face mask on today, thank you know, stars. And this super tall guy climbs up there and gets the rope over, and it was like from that moment everyone knew it was really happening, and this, it went down. Everyone, and all the ropes went on, and all the cameras backed up, and boom, down he came. And it was just crazy fast. And I didn't know, like, if this, you know, you hear all those things about how the ones in the South were made super fast, all those Confederate monuments, so they just fall down. But I didn't think this was one of those. You know, I thought, oh no, this might not come down, or this might be something super dangerous to come down. So it was a little scary, but mostly it was kind of just mind-boggling. It was like, it was like when I was listening to your students, I was just so, I was thinking back, and I think a lot of other people listening to your former student was thinking about that every once in a while, there's a moment where you realize you're valued, and you think, oh my God, my humanity is just an ounce more than I had thought, or that someone else had thought. And teachers have so much power to do that, you know, and parents obviously are supposed to be in that game too. You know, but as it came down and I could hear people around me and the way they were talking about it, I couldn't feel anything but, like, relief. Like, you know, as an Indigenous person, I walk by there. You know, I've lived in St. Paul quite a while now, and when I walk by there, my kids and I, we pass on the other side of the street. I try not to look at him. Because it's, like, one more, like, point at me in all those little messages throughout my life that have said, you're not enough or as much. You're others. And that's okay. And I didn't even think, you know, I thought I was just going to go document it. I was like, I better be, if I'm this close to this happening and I have a chance to get the shot and I don't have to buy it from anyone, I'm going to get it. Right? But I also, I have to be honest, it was a crazy moment, you know, to see it come down, because I have walked by it so many times and felt sad.
Yeah. So. Wow. Thank you so much for giving us your insight. Wow, it's really, it hit us here over here. Wendy and I are pretty teared up too by your account. Thank you so much for stopping in and giving us your bird's eye view of what happened with the Christopher Columbus statue. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pilot, for checking in with me.
Right on. Hey, you're listening to Pilot's Progressive Party, and we'll be back after this short break.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Hey, Cudigy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Is it time to downsize but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We are experienced in making this process as smooth and as easy as possible. Whether it is with pricing your home or assistance in finding movers or any other professionals that you might need to help get your home ready, we are here for you. Take the worry away and give us a call today at 651-303-0019. Again, that is 651-303-0019 or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Hey, this is Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Join me and Desi Doyen weeknights on AM 950 at 7 p.m. for the Bradcast. 1 hour of interviews, analysis, news, and snark that you need but won't get from the corporate media. Join me for the Bradcast, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
What a hypnosis is. What is it? Cause I really like to know. What is it?
Welcome back to Pilot's Progressive Party. Wow, welcome back, Wendy. What a show.
What a show. You did it again with your awesome guests, Robert.
Well, I can't put together a complete sentence, so I have to get people like you and other people on here.
Oh, I could barely put together a sentence, so...
Well, you know, we're talking about changing the culture here, and it was a really great insight from Shorty Mack, Faleg Abraham, former student and former just all-around cool kid.
Absolutely.
And now she's older than I am than when I first met her, which is funny, you know, to really think that these students are older now, and I was young. I always feel like I'm the same age when you meet somebody, and... Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like 25 years older, so it's just crazy.
Really?
Yeah. So, and then the tearing down of the Christopher Columbus, that really surprised the heck out of me that they did it.
What a perfect time. After the murder of George Floyd, what a better time to bring down that statue. It was perfect timing.
Yeah, definitely.
Perfect timing.
Definitely.
So. Can people like go on? They could find the live Facebook feed, and you could watch the whole thing.
I shared it on my Facebook wall. Maybe I'll share it on Native Roots Radio because I was watching it just before we got on, and it was like as we got on, they tore it down, and it was crazy because there was a big long rope, and it was like you said, tug of war,
and like there were 50 people.
It was like no problem,
60 people pulling on that rope to get down that statue. I'm sure it weighed a ton. I mean, it's
literally a ton.
Yeah, it's like solid cement. But yeah, go on to our Native Roots Radio Facebook page, and you could watch the video and like our page.
Yeah, so we have restaurants that are opening up at 50%. Mall of America, only 150 stores out of the 500 are opening. And we had Floyd's brother who was talking to Congress today, and that was a very emotional thing. I wanted to talk a little bit about that. But before the end of the show here, I just wanted to recognize those four news highlights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Every week, it seems like, we have so much to talk about, so...
Well, we got Native Roots Radio on Saturday, 1 to 3, and that's always jam-packed. We have Winona LaDuke, House Representative Mary Kunish Podine, Ruth Buffalo of North Dakota House Representative.
We have Emma giving us updates. Emma Needham giving us an update on news and
Right, into her essays, and then we have the symposium that happens Sunday night, and then it's rebroadcast on AM 950. That's on AM 950. That is 10 to 12, and so we got a lot going on. I'm doing a symposium for Ruth Buffalo and Native Americans here at Live on Facebook. But thank you, Patreon, and thank you, AM 950, for your support, and we'll be back next week with Pilot's Progressive Party.